Welcome to the Virgin Diabetic Podcast. My name is Denise Panzers, and I'm a diabetes and holistic lifestyle coach. Type 2 diabetes is a chronic disease, and it plagues over 34 million in the U.S. and hundreds of millions worldwide. I was one of those unlucky people to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and prescribed medication with 4 daily insulin shots. It left me devastated. But then I realized, contrary to what everyone told me, I could reverse my diabetes. And my happy day was when I eliminated all medication and all insulin. Join me on this journey to learn and gain insight on reversing the effects of your diabetes. Being diagnosed with diabetes is never good news, and you might be wondering what options you have to help you toward better health. If you don't successfully change your diet, doctors usually prescribe drugs, sometimes several, which treat the symptoms of high blood glucose, but not the cause. The cause of insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes is glucose toxicity due to our diet, consuming too many carbs, which are converted to glucose in our blood. Nutritional supplements like lysolin can slow the progression of diabetes and possibly reverse it. Lysolin is the only product that targets the cause of insulin resistance and diabetes itself. Lysolin's safe, healthy, and natural formula acts like a glucose sponge so that glucose does not end up becoming toxic. Lysolin has proven to work in clinical studies for people with prediabetes and type 2 diabetes. Visit lysolin.com, lysulin.com, and start today to help yourself to better health. Hi, today we have physician assistant Suzanne Fisella, who's also the CEO of Patient Best and Caregiver Haven. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining me today. I think you have some wonderful information to share for our audience. So please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, and then we'll dive right into all that great information you're going to share.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you, Denise, for having me on today. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad to share this information. What I basically do is I work in the urgent care in Southwest Florida, and my average patient is 86 years old. And I see a lot of frustration with not only them, but with the caregivers that take care of them. And so I've branched out from my physician assistant practice to also help caregivers nationwide to learn the tricks of the trade of the healthcare system, the law and legal rights, the money situations they have, and the housing situations, and of course, the mental decline that they deal with their loved ones. So I do a lot of different things and wear a lot of different hats, just helping people be caregivers.
That's wonderful, because we always forget about those that have to take care of others. So good work that you're doing out there, Suzanne. So one thing I definitely want to make sure folks are understanding being diabetes patients, and during times when we have a pandemic like we do currently, you know, why do we worry so much about folks with diabetes and their exposure to COVID-19?
Well, you ask a very good question here and a very concerning question to all of us healthcare providers today. First of all, let's make note that the COVID-19 is no more contagious to the diabetic patient than to a heart patient or a healthy patient. The contagiousness of the disease is equal to everyone. Where we run into a problem with the diabetic patient is that the first thing we see upon entering the hospital is a rise in the sugar levels. And if a diabetic patient does not have their sugar under control normally, then they're in trouble as they hit the hospital doors. And this is what's so concerning. The reason I say this is because, you know, normally you want to keep your A1C 6 or under. And what you're looking at is anybody with an A1C of 6 to 7. What that means is they've got twice the chance of not making it out of that hospital. And if they have an A1C over 7, we're looking at the records are showing us, and the history behind this disease is now telling us that there's likely a 3 times the chance of not getting out of the hospital alive. So it's very important that these diabetic patients absolutely start taking care of their sugars immediately.
So that is a huge thing that I think diabetics definitely need to think of. And our A1C is just an average. So it really doesn't tell us, you know, how low your glucose might go, but actually how high it may go. So you can still have a 6.5 or 7 A1C and see glucose levels increasing as high as 180, 190, 200 without even knowing that. Is that correct?
Yes, that is. In fact, with this kind of infection, we'll see that perfectly normal non-diabetics that are coming into the hospital with the symptoms of COVID are already experiencing sugars in the 130s, which they never have. And these is a fasting glucose sugar.
Wow.
Which they never have. So they're already starting to climb before they even get to the hospital or show symptoms.
Okay. So yeah, so scary for our folks with this chronic disease. So how can a diabetic actually be safe while we are in the midst of a COVID environment?
That's another really great question, Denise, and thank you for asking it. One of the most frustrating things that we see as healthcare providers is that people are not wearing their mask. And if they are wearing their mask, they are not wearing it correctly. We swab for the virus, for the infection up in the nose, because that's where it goes first. It lives in the nose. We do not swab the mouth. And so when people are wearing a mask, they must have it over their nose. Lots of time I'm out in public, I see people wearing it on their chin or it has slipped under their nose. Then the second problem is they're constantly picking it up to putting it over their nose, which means their hands are dirty. And now they've just dirtied the mask and contaminated their nose even more so. So we recommend to everyone that they have their mask well fit over their nose and their mouth at all times, because that's where the infection starts. A lot of people have said, well, I know one of the first symptoms is that you're going to have, you know, loss of smell. Yes, the virus is living up the nose, loss of smell and taste, because it attacks the neurons in the nose for those two senses.
Wow. So great explanation of those who are flip-flopping or not sure if they want to wear a mask, especially when we're going to be near other folks. Wearing it appropriately is just as important as actually knowing to its importance of putting one on. So in our eyes, do we have to be cognizant of our eyes? Because those are basically mucous areas that, from my understanding, could also attract droplets from the virus.
That's correct. And we do wear eyewear or shields while we're in the clinic. And usually most of us providers do wear some kind of eye shield when we're out. And I'll mention something else here too. The transmission rate of the COVID virus is very high when you have a patient who is infected, or a person, let's say, out in the general public who is infected and they don't know it. Now, this comes into play because the most common symptom of COVID-19 is no symptom at all. 40%, almost half of the public, the population, do not know they are infected. And so they're walking around with no symptoms. Now, if they put the mask on, let's say I have the COVID virus and I don't know that I do. So I don't have a mask on. But you do have a mask on because you're wearing yours all the time. There is still a 70% chance of me giving it to you, even though you have the mask. But let's say that I wear the mask. I have no symptoms, but I just want to wear the mask anyway. And you don't wear a mask. It drops. That transmission drops to 5%. And then if we're both wearing the mask and I'm still infected, but you're wearing it and I'm wearing it, that drops to 1.5% likelihood that you will contract COVID-19. So the biggest thing I can tell your diabetic clients and patients is to please make sure everyone is wearing a mask, because they don't know and we don't know who is walking around with the COVID-19 virus.
So that's a great point. It isn't always just about us, but it's unknowing the other folks that are around us or that are near us. So around our neighborhood here, I see a lot of folks that are out walking about trying to get some fresh air. They're typically either by themselves or with just one other person. So in that type of environment, would you think that it's probably okay when people are out trying to get some of that exercise not to wear a mask, or do you still suggest people should still wear the mask?
In that kind of environment where they're 6 feet or more apart from each other, you know, as we pass on sidewalks and we kind of give each other room as we're out walking, that's fine. That's fine. Because we're outdoors, we've got the wind going, we're not contained within a office space or a hospital or a small room or a cubicle. So we're good.
Okay. Because I think a lot of us, including myself, we get a little confused on the do's and the don'ts of when to wear a mask. We get tired of wearing it, so we don't wear it appropriately. And I do see a lot of that. So just to reiterate for our audience, we want to make sure that the mask is covering the nose and the mouth, not one or the other, correct?
Correct. That's exactly right.
Good. So a couple other things, if we can get back to something we normally don't talk about with diabetics, and that would be our immune system. So can you explain why having a strong immune system is really very important? Because those with diabetes typically have a suppressed immune system.
That's correct. And the reason this is so important is because we've got to let the body fight the virus, just like it does the common cold and just like it does flu season every year. So we need that immune system. And the immune system, we can build it up by getting a good night's sleep, by eating right, by getting the stress out of our lives. That would help tremendously, taking good care of ourselves and vitamins. And there's all sorts of things out there. And you know, people say try zinc, that might help your immune system. I'm okay with that. You know what? It can't hurt. So whatever you think might help or you read that would boost your immune system, that would be fabulous. The reason diabetics tend not to have such a good immune system is because they've got a chronic disease that's just pulling from that immune system. And oftentimes with diabetes, you also have other types of things going on, like you may have some kidney problems, you may have some heart problems, you may have some high blood pressure. And whenever you have something like that and you're adding medications, you're also decreasing the ability of the immune system to be as optimal as it can be.
So that's a great point. And I have a lot of folks that come to me because they want to be able to reverse their diabetes naturally. And in some cases, either eliminating or reducing the amount of medication. Or there are some folks that say, my doctor just gave me a prescription and I really want to avoid taking any medication. But it does take time to be able to bring our glucose levels down, depending on how hard we work at it and all the changes that we know we need to make. We're human, we don't always make them. So for those folks, do you still recommend that they continue to take their medication and simultaneously work on reversing the effects of diabetes and still work to lower their glucose levels so we don't put the cart before the horse?
Exactly. No, you should never go off your medications. You should always check with your doctor first, of course. There's a reason that he or she has you on those medications and have you stabilized. But in the meantime, you know, all the things that you recommend in your courses and your articles and just the powerful information you give about foods and eating and checking your sugars, things like that, to start building a program whereby you can drop those sugars and build your immune system at the same time. And, you know, overall, good health.
Good. I think we have time for another quick question. I'd love to slide in here. And a number of type 2 diabetics actually use insulin. And is that an issue if they happen to be hospitalized with the COVID? Do you know how that insulin gets worked in to their care in the hospital?
I'm not real sure about it because my practice is more in urgent care, to be honest with you. But I do know with the sugars going up like they do, and of course, when they do, the higher the sugars, you've got to get the insulin in so that the sugar in the blood can start feeding the tissues, right? And when the tissues can't be fed, then they start to starve. When the tissues start to starve, they produce or they break down fat, which leads to ketones. When ketones then are released into the blood, they produce the acidosis we see. And the patient just goes downhill from that. Diabetic ketoacidosis, it's a common word. A lot of diabetics are familiar with it. But once we hit that stage, we're in a lot of trouble. So just the medical terminology may be confusing, but we're always aware that we've got to stop the cells from starving and producing those ketones.
And I think that's a great explanation, especially for folks who want to work to reduce insulin over time, that we can't get ahead of ourselves in that process, especially now with the COVID around us. And keeping an eye on your overall health, I think, is definitely the most important, and keep up our immune system. So vitamins, I heard you say even zinc, we don't know the full extent of it, but it certainly should not hurt us, of course. And I know I take the elderberry syrup as well, just in case. And who knows, is it helping or not? I don't know, but we at least know some of these things will not hurt us.
That's correct.
Any last words of wisdom that you could definitely provide our audience that thinking about working through the COVID and managing their diabetes?
I would ask them to please, the diabetics are a group of people that really don't need to get infected. Okay, let's wait for the vaccine and get the vaccine out to these folks that are either immunocompromised, organ transplants of any kind, diabetics. We know those are the top three at-risk categories that we want not to get the COVID infection. So words of wisdom, when you see somebody out there and they're not wearing their mask properly or they're not wearing a mask, you have a right to say, can you please put on a mask and reduce the transmission from 70% to 1.5%? Let's both wear our masks.
I think that's a great way for people to educate others. And I don't think most of us realized how much we can reduce that transmission if both parties are wearing a mask. So I think that's great. And that was something that I wasn't even completely sure of myself. So wonderful information on that. Suzanne, I think you provided some great insight for us today, and I truly appreciate it. If any of our audience would like to reach out to you, especially during this time, I'm guessing that we have a lot of caregivers that are being loaded with more work and more worry these days than ever before. Can you provide us your contact information or where we can send our audience to find out more about what you do for caregivers?
Sure. Thank you. They can go to www.patientbest.com. And I have a lot of blogs there. I'm on with CDC and the Florida Department of Health on a weekly basis to update my readers about COVID and what's coming down the pike. And they can also go to caregiverhaven.org, O-R-G. And I have information there. Either way, they can reach out to me.
That's wonderful. And I know you also have a newsletter where you send out some tremendous information. I receive that regularly. So I do encourage folks to go to patientbest.com or caregiverhaven.org. And I think we'll get some wonderful information. Well, Suzanne, thank you so much for this wonderful information. I'd love to have you come back on at another time because I know there's so many other topics around diabetes that we could really just dig into.
Thank you for having me, Denise. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining me on this episode. To hear how the natural supplement Lysolin works for me and many of my clients, visit Lysolin.com, Lysulin.com, for more information. Please do not consider this as medical information. Always consult with a physician before making any changes. New episodes are released on the first and third Wednesday each month. And for more information or a free consultation, visit reversemydiabetes.net. And as always, I wish you the best of health.